Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com. Brought to you by the Evergood Sausage Company, celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of CSN California's Raiders Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Baer, and this week we have a pretty awesome, very timely guest in former Raiders quarterback Jim Plunkett. Now, why is this interview timely? It's because Jim Plunkett was a backup on two separate occasions where he took over the starting gig for the Raiders and led the Silver and Black onto a Super Bowl victory. And we talked to him about that experience, especially in 1980, where he really revitalized his career and took the Silver and Black storming on to a Super Bowl championship where he was that game's MVP, and he was named the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And Jim Plunkett was also able to kind of explain maybe what's going through Connor Cook's mind right now as the Raiders head into a huge AFC wildcard playoff game against the Houston Texans on Saturday afternoon. And then, of course, he also talked about his former head coach, Tom Flores, who has been snubbed yet again by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and why he believes that eventually Tom Flores' time will come. With no further ado, former Raiders quarterback Jim Plunkett. Our guest on this week's edition of CSN's Raiders Insider Podcast is a very special one. A Bay Area native, a Stanford alum, a former 49er, but this is a Raider podcast. We won't hold it against him because he was involved for some glory days of the Oakland Raiders quarterback Jim Plunkett. And Jim, after such a long drought over the last 10, 12, 14 years, what does it mean to the Raiders alumni to see this franchise back in prominence, ready to play a big playoff game on Saturday?
Well, I think it's very exciting to all of us. It's been a long dry spell, as you mentioned. And, you know, we're excited to be back in the playoff picture, you know, really being one of the top teams in the NFL this year with a 12-4 record. And we went from, you know, probably second seed to fifth seed in one game to end the season, unfortunately, but still they're in it and we're all excited about it.
You know, as they head towards this Houston Texans game, this is a very good team that obviously was led by a very good quarterback in Derek Carr. Do you think that this team is going to be able to rebound despite their recent setback to their signal caller?
Well, you know, one would hope so, and I certainly hope so. And, you know, I feel they can. I think the air was kind of taken out of them last week after the loss of Derek Carr. And, you know, obviously that hurt tremendously, and offensively in particular. And, you know, they didn't play a very good game against the Broncos last week. And, you know, the Raiders started Matt McGloin, and, you know, that he got hurt and he really wasn't effective. And now they're going with Connor Cook. And, you know, they've got to find a way to simplify things for him offensively, play some good defense, have a good running game, and who knows what can happen by the end of the game. But, you know, we certainly, you know, you got to have confidence in what's going to happen. And, you know, they beat him once, and hopefully they can beat him again.
Given everything that's happening with their quarterback situation, I thought this would be a great time to speak with you, considering that you've kind of been through this where you were a backup, you're thrust into a starting role, and obviously you did pretty well a couple different times. But especially, I'd like you to take us back to 1980 there. What was it like when Dan Pastorini fractures his leg and you're kind of thrust into the moment? Like, what's that like for a backup quarterback to just kind of be thrown into a game like that?
Well, I think it's a little different for me than it was Matt McGloin or Connor Cook, mm-hmm. or, you know, even Tom Brady. I had 10 years under my belt, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I felt I should have been playing sooner than that. And I actually asked to be traded before the start of the season because I was getting up there in age, and You know, if I didn't have an opportunity soon, you know, I'd never get another shot. And for me, stepping onto the field the following week as a starter for the Raiders in 1980, I had a lot of thoughts going on, and one of them was that, you know, if I didn't perform now, didn't go out there and play well, you know, I might be out of football. And, you know, that's kind of spurred me on. And another thing that spurred me on was that, you know, Mr. Davis came up to me prior to the game, and he says, you know, Jim, it's not important that you play well. It's important that we win. Huh. And, you know, I've always taken that to heart. You know, lead your team. When you have a great game, you know, try to be efficient. Don't turn the ball over, and good things will happen.
On that 1980 team, did everybody really embrace you once you kind of came in there? I mean, you won 9 of your last 11 games and obviously Super Bowl MVP and all those great things that season. Did those guys really rally around you pretty quickly?
Oh, I think so. I think the way things were going for Pastorini, I think a change was going to be coming anyway. He wasn't playing exceptionally well. After 5 games that season, we were 2-3. And the games that he started, and you know, a lot of the players prior to that, you know, said, you know, they were hoping I would start. Some of them, I won't say all of them, but you know, my friends basically on the team were hoping I'd get the opportunity, and I eventually did.
You've been through a couple of these successful playoff runs. What's the key to kind of finding that magic in a bottle where you can reel off, you know, 3 or 4 straight victories, and especially when all the pressure's on and everybody expects the Raiders to do something? Like, what was that experience like, and how did you handle all of that pressure?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I just tried to, you know, not make any mistakes, not be the cause of our loss, say. Study hard, be prepared for every situation, audible out of bad plays, get into good ones, not turn the ball over, and you know, run the offense efficiently. And that is what was on my mind. But, you know, we were also a team that started out 2-5, but we really gelled together offensively, defensively. Everything came together as the season progressed. The start of the season, our defense was giving up 26 points a game. By the time we were reaching the Super Bowl, we were giving up a little over 12 points a game. A great turnaround defensively, and obviously that really helped. And offensively, we really got the motor going, and we were putting up points about everybody. And it, you know, it was a really good run for us, winning 11 of the last 13 games.
After you finished that 1980 season and you won the MVP and all those types of things, just everything that you were talking about that you were considering maybe asking to be traded, and you weren't sure if maybe this was your last run and all that kind of stuff, it must have been so gratifying after that run, maybe when you had to, you know, sit back at home or at any point where everything kind of sunk in. That must have been incredibly gratifying to reel off those wins, those types of performances, and then win the Super Bowl, considering, you know, all of the backstory.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was 5 tough years in New England, a little up and down there. Finally asked to be traded, wound up with the 49ers, where I wanted to come home and perform well in front of my family and friends, and where I went to school, and things just did not work out all that well. You know, get released and sign with the Raiders. I got other offers to play for other teams around the country. I just wanted to stay close to home, be in my house, and just commute to work across the bay. And yeah, and you're right, it was very gratifying. After, you know, a tough 10 years in the league, and the last basically two years and almost 2.5 years being on the bench behind Kenny Stabler and Ed Pastorini, and to me it was a real vindication of, you know, of for me anyway, to wind up being in the Super Bowl and being voted MVP. It was hard to believe, but you know, it took a long time coming, but it was really great when it did.
Connor Cook is in a very different situation than you were in, or a lot of these other guys. For one, he's young and he's going to make his first professional start. But two, he's kind of entering into this thing in week 16, week 17, and on into the playoffs. What kind of complications does that kind of bring up, given that he's really being thrust into the fire without any time to kind of warm up and get some games under his belt?
I think part of the thought process going into the game, I'm sure they'll probably cut down the playbook, mm-hmm. make it easier for him, and make him comfortable in his play selections, out there. Also insert plays that are comfortable for him that he can run. They've seen him run them in practice, and they feel comfortable for him doing. But on the plus side, you know, nobody has a book on him.
Right.
They don't know what he likes to do. And that's also, you know, that's a plus for Connor Cook and the offense. A little bit to get him out of a pass rush. You know, they'll try to do these little things that will help Connor Cook, you know, play his best football, hopefully.
Is there any advice that you would give him just about how to calm those nerves, you know, just because you've played in so many big games, like how to kind of settle down there when it matters most?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. We're all different personalities. Uh-huh. You don't know what calms one person down or another. But, you know, once he gets a few completions under his belt, and I thought he performed pretty well in Denver under the situation of being behind and on a constant pass down after down. But, you know, once he gets a couple of those pass completions under his belt, I think he'll feel a lot better.
And then if we can kind of transition to a different topic here, there's yet another round of Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists, and Tom Flores really isn't getting the consideration that I'm sure that a lot of guys that played for him probably think that he deserves. Does that still kind of bother you year in, year out, that you know, why he isn't mentioned, you know, maybe even when guys like Don Coryell are now finalists?
Right.
Is that sort of frustrating for the Raiders that played for him?
Oh, it certainly is. You know, he's been a good friend, you know, ever since I joined the Raiders, and you know, we have a lot more in common, our nationalities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was on a Super Bowl winning team with Kansas City as a player. He was assistant coach, and then for the Raiders in '76, and then he was the head coach and won two more Super Bowls for the Raiders as head coach. I mean, that's hard to beat that record of the people that are involved in. Are on the Hall of Fame list right now. I mean, nobody on that list has done better than Tom Flores. He definitely should be there. There's no question in our minds, and it should be coming sooner than later. There's no doubt about it.
Jim, thank you very much for the time, and best of luck to your Raiders on Saturday. I'm sure that you'll be watching.
I'll be there. Yes, I will. And, we'll do our best, I'm sure. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to this week's edition of CSN California's Raiders Insider Podcast, and a very special thank you to our title sponsor, the Evergood Sausage Company, celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area. And of course, to former Raiders quarterback Jim Plunkett for taking the time to give us insight about what it was like to be a Raider during those fantastic Super Bowl runs in the early 1980s, and for giving us a glimpse into what Connor Cook must be thinking as he prepares for Saturday's playoff game against the Houston Texans. If you like what you heard, feel free to subscribe to the Raiders Insider Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. We'll have another great guest for you coming up next week.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com.